Joshua tonight, Joshua chapter 6 is where we'll be there in the Old Testament. Joshua chapter 6 as we finish as we work through this book, we just finished up chapter 5, our last message, and we'll begin in chapter 6. Thank you, young people, again for your testimonies, and what an encouragement that was. Appreciate you being willing to do that, and we'll try to set that up again for next week to have some more. And I'm not sure if the teen video, if Dean Miller had any words of exhortation there, but I appreciate the way they set that up with Pastor Eggerdahl was able to just give a last exhortation there as the kids were heading out. I thought that was neat. How many of you, out of curiosity, how many of you took advantage of the live streaming they did at the Wilds this week? How many of you? Okay. Several of you parents took advantage of that. I could not get it to work on my phone, and I know they said that you got to do it on the whatever, on your computer. And but I, from what I heard from others, that it was just a really neat option, and I'm thankful that you got to pick them out. Now, how many of you watching it? Thanks, Brother Brad. How many of you watching the live stream actually saw your kids at some point? How many of you? Okay, Stephanie, you were able to pick them out. Both of them, Stephanie? Okay, Sophia was being bad and you saw her? No, she was, I'm sure, she had a great time, and so glad, again, that everybody was able to go, that signed up. Again, thank you, parents. I want to thank you, parents, for just signing up your kids. And I know it was by faith, too, because I understand the Wilds. I mean, they're a great camp. I mean, quality, sound. You're going to get a great camp experience, but that they are very expensive. And many of you parents sacrificed so that your child could go. And I want to thank you for that. And I want to thank you for those that sponsored. There were several in our church that gave towards helping kids go that otherwise would not have been able to go. And I want to thank you. Your investment in eternity really was helping some of those young people make it to a life-changing week of camp. And I'm so grateful for the generosity of the folks here at Crooked Creek that certainly have a vision and a burden in helping things like that take place. So we do. We thank the Lord. All right, you have your Bibles there open to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. Daniel and Jessica, I couldn't help but think how fitting this message is tonight for you guys, but all of us. You know, specifically, they're getting ready to take off and step out into a whole nother season of ministry. A lot of unknowns that are there awaiting for them. But you know, the truth is, none of us really know what's going to be happening tomorrow, tonight. We're all walking by faith, and to some degree. And we're going to look at the nation of Israel, led by their commander, Joshua, how they now have crossed the Jordan River. And remember, our last message was on the importance of their own hearts being prepared for battle. God didn't send them right into Jericho once they crossed the Jordan. He let them camp out in Gilgal for a little while so that they could make sure their hearts were right. Remember the covenant that had been given to the nation of Israel, and what symbolized that was the circumcision. And then also, we talked about several things that they had to do in preparation of their own hearts as they were getting ready for battle. Do you remember what Gilgal stood for? Do you know what that truly means? Remember what that means? Does anybody remember what? Somebody? To roll off on. And remember, that was a picture again, that was you rolling off the old life. Remember, we're not living in the past. We're not going to dwell on the wilderness wanderings and that generation that failed God. No, we're focusing on what God has put before us. He's given us a new life. He's given us a new mission. And they were setting forth that. But God says, you got to make sure you're right. Your heart is right, within before you can go and face a battle without. And that's exactly what they're doing. But now they follow the Lord in obedience. They did all that Joshua commanded them to do. We saw all of those things take place. And, of course, the most encouraging part of chapter 5 in preparing them for the battle was what? It was a meeting with Jesus. The ultimate captain, the main commander, the one who is over all. And he met Joshua there, we believe to be the pre-incarnate Christ, and gave him a command, that Joshua, I'm gonna be fighting this battle for you. But the fact of the matter is, Joshua understood that he had encountered deity. He fell on his face, the Word of God says. He fell on his face to the earth, and he did worship. And he basically made himself available to the Lord and says, I am your servant. And the captain of the Lord's host said there in verse 15, unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. And we understand that the first battle is always that battle within. We're going to be holy for the Lord. If we're going to be effective, church, let's always mark it down. If we're going to be effective for the Lord, it's going to begin with a pure and holy heart. And that's where they are now. So verse 6, we come to, it says, Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, here's a direct message from the Lord himself to the commander, his servant Joshua. See, he's telling Joshua to look at Jericho. I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go around about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times. And the priest shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. And the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priest and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant. Now that's very important, as we'll see here in just a moment. And let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priest that blew with the trumpets, and the rearward came after the ark, and the priest going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth, until the day I bid you shout. Then shall ye shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. With the Lord's help, I want to just bring this challenge tonight, and tonight's message is just keep walking until I tell you to shout. Just keep on walking until I tell you to shout. Would you pray with me, please? Father, I am grateful for the work of your Spirit in our lives. And tonight, Lord, we take notice of that. Through the testimonies that have been given. But Lord, just the very fact that you have us here tonight is a testimony to your grace. Oh God, where we would be without your grace, there's just no telling. And I pray tonight, as we look to the Word of God, that we would look to Joshua and the children of Israel and the account of Jericho and the beginning stages of this attack. I pray, Father, that you would strengthen us in the faith.
Oh, Lord, help us now. We trust you will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Just keep on walking until I tell you to shout. Now, there are several things I want us to look at tonight. We're not going to go through the whole chapter, but we do want to set the stage for when the walls will truly fall. First, I want us to look at, if you're taking notes here with me tonight, I want us to see, first of all, the command to go to Jericho and don't bypass it. Now, I want to look at a map real quick. I might have my clicker up here. If we could just show that just for a moment. Jericho was a strategic city. All right. Now, Gilgal is where they were camping. Here's the Jordan right here. Okay. They're going to cross over. This is where they will camp. Now, Jericho is right here. The city, the wall, right here. What they're going to do strategically, militarily, they will cut across straight through the middle here, right along here, and they will go southward with a southward campaign, the southern campaign, and then they will go north for the northern campaign to conquer all these cities that God has laid out for them to do. Now, Jericho was a very strategic city because most travelers would come up through this area along the eastern side of the country here. And they would travel up along through here. This was a center point, if you will. And so that this is a city that they had to conquer. Now, there's a lesson for us in this, because Jericho is also a symbol or a type of the world that we'll see for the Christian. But thank you. We can take that down. But what I want us to see tonight is that God has some things that are set before us that we cannot bypass. There are some obstacles. There are things in this world that God has set us on a path to face. But one of the things that the lesson, that the thread, the common thread that we see throughout this chapter is that, folks, we have to remember, as God's children, we do not fight for victory. We fight from victory. Because remember what the Lord told Joshua right there in verse 2. What did he say? See, I have what? Given. The land, it was, the city was already conquered from God's perspective. Joshua simply needed to go forward by faith, believing that God was going to do exactly what he said he would do. Hey, folks, we can trust God. We can trust Him. And that's exactly what what Joshua is going to realize. And we don't want to bypass it. And one of the lessons that we need to learn as Christians, you can't avoid the battle. You can't avoid confrontation with the world and with the old flesh and the devil. It's going to happen every day. And if we live in a retreat mentality, we're never going to accomplish what God has set out for us. We can't be afraid. We can't be intimidated, because Jericho is a strategic place that needed to be conquered. It would set the pace for the whole military campaign. And my friends, every day we get up, we determine that we are going to go forth in victory by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is indeed our Savior. He did die on the cross. He did destroy the works of the devil, the Bible says. He did declare that He's given His children victory over sin, even the power of sin. Now, we haven't overcome the presence of sin. That doesn't start until heaven. Thank God we'll have that in heaven. We will not have the presence of sin. But we do have the victory over sin as we yield to our Savior's control and His power. So we see that Joshua understood the importance of Jericho. Second with me, if you notice, we see that it was to go forth because God told them to go forth. He said, it's yours. You just simply got to go forth by faith. Mark these references down in your Bible. 1 John 5:4 says, and whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. The last three words. Even our what? Faith. How is it that we overcome the world every day? It is through
faith. We are born of God, and we overcometh the world every day. And we're going to notice as we study this chapter even more, Hebrews 11:30. You can jot that reference down. Hebrews 11:30, it says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down. But don't stop right there, because the next word is so important. You know what it says? After they were compassed about 7 days. Do you know what that tells me right there, brethren? Is that we cannot cower and bow down to this world. We got to march forward by faith every day, believing that God will bring down the walls of the wicked. He will break those strongholds in our lives and those around us. We believe it, and we march forward. We're not going to cower. We're not going to be scared. And I know that as we walk by faith, there are a lot of unknowns. But that's exactly the point of faith. We simply do not walk by sight. We walk by faith. Number three, we understand that the command was to circle your foe by faith. Now, folks, this was not your conventional way of besieging a city. I mean, if there was a such thing as a military council there, that there were several generals that were on hand, I'm sure they would have had a lot different ideas than what Joshua was going to do. But the command was they were going to walk around it, an exercise of faith. In fact, these generals, if they were there to give counsel, I'm sure they would disagree with this method. Perhaps it was like, no, we need to build some sort of platform where we can get over the wall. We need to start working on it where it can connect, and then we will do that. Maybe one general would say, you know, no, we don't need to do that. We need, which oftentimes in these situations, they would starve a city to death. So they would surround the city, they would seek to cut off the water supply going into the city, and they would keep any food from coming in until the people started starving to death, and eventually the city would come out and surrender, because they didn't want to starve to death. Maybe those would be some conventional ways, things that make sense and things that say, hey, that seems humanly possible right there. But my friends, what God wants to do in our life is, yes, the ordinary we face every day. But I want to tell you something. God's wanting to do some things in our life that only He can get the credit for. And that's what He's bringing them to. And He's bringing you to. You say, hey, you don't know, Pastor, the situation I'm in. It's an impossibility. I say, you know what? God's got you right where He wants you. He's got me right where He wants me. He loves putting us in those places where we just, all we can do is just look up. I know that's sort of a cliche there, but honestly, that's what they're going to have to do. They're going to walk around that city. They're going to be out seeing those walls. And no, they can't. The Bible says the command was, listen, y'all don't talk at all, which I'm going to get to that here in a minute. Now, you know that had to be difficult. But it said that it didn't say they couldn't look. If you're like me, if I'm walking around that city, if I can't talk, I'm going to talk with my eyes. But the command was, It's not to agree with what you think is best. It's to do what God wants you to do. In Proverbs 19:21, the Bible says, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. And by the way, just kind of those of you that are interested in this aspect of numbers in the Bible and what they symbolize, we'll see here the number 7 mentioned several times. 7 symbolizes maturity, completion, fullness, bringing a point of where it began with is on the 7th day. God rested. After the 6th day of creation, it was complete. It was full. God was satisfied on that 7th day. And 7 speaks of fullness. And notice in the Bible there, in this account, there are 7 priests. There are 7 days of marching. And on the 7th day of marching, there is 7 times that they go around the city. And folks, can you mark this down for in our Christian life? Everything God is doing in our life is to mature us. Every one of us are immature spiritually in some way. form or fashion. I am immature in some ways. You are immature in some ways spiritually. And God is bringing things in our life and calling us to a life of faith to grow us up in the faith and to mature us. And that's what we see right there. But we see that as we walk by faith, I like what Warren Wiersbe said, as they walk around this city and they circle their foe by faith, you know, they should be living like victors and not victims. Because as Christians, I've been in this boat. I've been in it recently. You walk with a victim mentality. Why is this happening to me? Why is it happening like this? I'm being picked on or something is not right. And we can easily get in that mindset, but that was not what these were going to do. They were going to walk by faith. Notice with me, fourthly, not only circle your foe by faith was the command to circle the city, but number four, it was to make sure the Ark of the Covenant is in the midst of you. That was in verses 8 and 9. We saw it also in verse 6. And the command was to make sure that the Ark of the Covenant, remember we studied about that when they crossed the Jordan. What does the Ark of the Covenant represent? You remember? The presence of God. The presence of Christ. And folks, what a lesson for us as we think upon when God calls us to wherever He's calling us every day, whether it's a new occupation, a new job, a new place to live, whether it's just you living out your Christian life right where you are. I want to tell you right now, we got to make sure that Jesus Christ is in the center, that He is in the midst of us, that He has the preeminence. Not being like a Diotrephes where in 3 John it talks about how Diotrephes, he loved the preeminence. He liked to be the center of all that was going on. But I tell you what we got to realize in order to have the presence of God, we have to obey the Lord. How do you keep Christ and His presence in the center of your life wherever you go, your every move? It will be by obeying His Word. Because He's promised, hadn't He? Lo, I am with you, what? Jesus Christ said, lo, or behold, I am with you always. Always. God Almighty has promised to be with us, and especially His manifested presence as we obey Him. I don't want to go anywhere without the presence of God. Now listen, folks, I understand the doctrine of God's omnipresence. There's never a place that God is not there. He's always there. Everywhere. But there is a true reality of God's manifested presence in our lives when we're walking with Him. And there should be a desire in all of our hearts for that to be there. I think of David Livingstone, who was a missionary in Africa and has been an inspiration to many, and rightly so. He wasn't a perfect man. He had failures in his life, but nevertheless, He did have a heart for Christ and to see Africa reach for the Lord. And he was a native of Scotland. And after 16 difficult years as a missionary and explorer in Africa, his body was emaciated by the ravages of some 27 fevers that had coursed through his veins during the years of his service. His left arm hung useless at his side, the result of his being mangled by a lion. And he was there speaking to the students at Glasgow University. And he said this, "Shall I tell you what sustained me during the hardship and loneliness of my exile?" Quote, "It was Christ's promise, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." Presence of Christ, just simply believing that God is with us, folks. And what we're faced with, as long as He is with us, we're okay. And that's what the Ark of the Covenant represented. It was in the center because there were a group of armed men in front. There were a group of people in the back, and boy, those priests with the Ark of the Covenant were in the center the whole time walking around the city. And by the way, just as a side note, the horns that they had were not typical battle trumpets. It's very interesting to note that these specific battle horns were distinct and what were used in the Jubilee celebration. The sabbatical year every 50th year, they were used these specific ones to celebrate Jubilee. And that is a symbol to us that the battle was the Lord's. They were going forth celebrating the victory. And may God help us every day to walk forward by faith, celebrating the victory that Jesus Christ has already won. He's won the battle for us. We embrace it by faith. We walk by faith. We do our part because the Bible says there were armed men going around that city too. It shows the importance of the aspect of human responsibility and God's sovereign power with us. But then, here's the last couple points as we come to a close. Notice the fifth point is this. We find in verse 10, and it's this point. Don't talk, just walk. Don't talk, just walk. You find that in verse 10a, when he commanded the people. He said, now don't shout, don't make any noise with your voice. He said, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then you shall shout. Folks, I'm not trying to be carnal here, but when I read this, I couldn't help but envision that this reminded me of things I say after about a 5-hour road trip with my kids. Do not say anything until we arrive. No talking, no mumbling. I can hear it now. Daddy, can we hum? No! No humming! We're almost there. And when we get there, and you get out of this car, you can shout! But this is what he's telling them. They got to walk around this city. They cannot communicate. You know, what does that entail? Well, that basically means that there was no grumbling, there was no theorizing, there was no, I don't know if y'all ever been in this, I'm this kind of guy, I don't know, maybe every human has this tendency, maybe some more than others, but I don't know why I have this, and I, with the Lord's help, I get victory over it, but I'm a worst case scenario type guy. Do I have any other worst case scenario type people in your mind? Okay, alright, I'm not alone here. So you envision this thing, and so there could be no discussions about, well, listen, these people, you know, this could happen with us walking around like we are. Nope. And you know, I think this is a lesson for every one of us here tonight. There are some times, folks, that honestly, spiritually speaking, the most spiritual thing that we can do is just be quiet. Don't try to reason it, theorize it, hypothetical situations. Don't try to get all your human instrumentality around it of strategizing. And there's a place for, of course, us using those types of things and balance. But the fact of the matter is, this was a time that says, Joshua says, I want y'all to walk around this city and don't say a word. I mean, I can't prove this, but these guys, these Canaanites, these people over there at the city of Jericho, these were not Sunday school teachers. These were brutal people of war. That's the reason God's going to level the city, folks. These people are just wicked to the uttermost. God has given the command to lay the city down except for Rahab. Her family will be spared. But these people are so wicked. And I can't help but think maybe they're yelling across the wall. I don't know that because the Bible did say they had a fear. But you think about as the first lap around on the first day, maybe they were a little scared. But after the second day and the third day, maybe they're starting to mock. Maybe they're starting to ridicule. But the command was, don't say a word. And you know, there's a lot of times in the world, that's the way we gotta be. We gotta march forward, no matter what they say, no matter what they accuse us of as God's children and following God, because we want to please Him. You know, there's sometimes we just keep our mouth shut and keep following God. And let God do the speaking! Because He will. I guarantee you that. But nevertheless, we see the miracle of not talking. The great discipline that it takes. Just simple obedience. You ought to mark this down, write this down to look at it sometime. Psalm 4:4 says, "Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed." And notice the next three words. "And be still." And then it says, "Selah." That word "still" there, if you look at it, it's not the same "still" as in the psalmist where it says, "Be still and know that I'm God." This "still" right here talks about being silent. Just be quiet. Just think upon the Lord. Just think upon Him. God's got this. He's working. And it's going to be beautiful. Lastly, we see that Joshua gives the command of stand by until the command to shout. And sometimes in the Christian life, I remember in the military, we used to hear this often. Brother Frank, you remember this. Stand by to stand by. Sometimes that's where we would be. Stand by to stand by. Because you had to wait on the next order and whatever had to take place for that to happen. Who knows what all need to take place. But sometimes, folks, the Christian life is like that. And these folks are marching. They don't know all the details. The Lord has communicated to Joshua what's going to happen. But the people are just walking by faith. And He said, "Now, when we get to the point of shout, I will tell you when to shout." And there are times where we are just walking with God and we're just waiting on the command. You may not have the light you need right now, but when you know it, you will know it. And you will be able to, in some way, symbolic, shout in the sense of moving forward in that next step that God has put you on. Let me close with this. And we'll study more of the chapter later when the walls will actually fall. But notice what J. Hudson Taylor said about three different ways to serve the Lord. Now, folks, if I can get you to listen to anybody's quote, it would be this one right here for this message for this specific time. We've looked at the Word of God, and that's number one. But I believe what J. Hudson Taylor is saying right here is so important when it comes to serving the Lord that we must keep in mind. He says there are three different ways to serve the Lord. Number one, it is to make the best plans we can and hope they succeed. That's number one. Number two, to make our own plans and ask God to bless them. Number three, it is to ask God for His plans and then do what He tells us to do. Every one of us ought to go with number three. But so often, we take one and two. We make our plans, ask God to bless them. We also make the best plans and we hope that they will succeed. But let's ask God for His plans and do what He tells us to do. Joshua received his orders from the Lord, and that's why Israel succeeded. God's plan for the conquest of Jericho was seemingly foolish, but it worked. And I don't know what you're facing tonight. You may be looking up the walls. You may be wanting to grumble and complain like, "This is crazy. I can't believe we're where we're at right now. This is not going to work out." I want to tell you something. Just keep walking. And I mean this kindly. Please understand your pastor's heart and just do not open your mouth. In the sense of don't grumble and complain. When God is moving you along and God's going to work. Because the shout is coming soon. And we're going to see the walls fall. To God be the glory. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for this opportunity to look at Your Word tonight. And Lord, as we think upon Your grace and Your mercy, I just want to thank You for the blessings of walking by faith. And though it's not always easy, and though there are battles to face, and there's a lot of unknowns, I just pray for everyone in this room.
Lord, and as we get ready to pray for Daniel and Jessica, I pray that, Lord, as they launch out by faith, You will bless them as well. Help us now to honor and love You with all of our hearts. And God, please, teach us to walk by faith. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.